Happy New Year, Rob.
Happy New Year, Rick. How are you guys?
So, Rob, I was just telling Dave, I mean, it is 3 weeks almost to the hour now, 9 a.m. 3 weeks ago, I was going in for surgery.
How are you doing?
Amazing. I'm doing, honestly, Rob, I'm doing, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm doing great. I feel, you know, I'm actually up to 3 miles a day walking.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing it. No, seriously. So my goal was like, you know, first week a mile, second week 2 miles, third week three. Next week I was telling day four. And I'm still walking with a cane, but that's going to probably, you know, drop off very soon because I'm getting strength in that leg. I'm doing PT. But you know what, Rob? Just like this, you know, everybody told me, and I think you mentioned this to me too, that I'm coachable. The PT people were saying, Rick, you know, you're listening to and doing what we're telling you. So I'm not doing more. I'm just doing what they're telling me. And
good.
Go figure, Rob. I mean, it's been very, very successful and smooth.
Well, you know, modern medicine is amazing. And
oh, my God.
You know, the hardest thing is to get people to comply and, you know, take the pill or do the PT or, you know, whatever. And if you just do it, and don't I overdid it, you know, as usual. And
that's
you know,
what I think the biggest challenge we all have. And I tell you, know, is not to overdo it. What did you do?
Oh, yeah. Well, me, I had rotator cuff surgery. And of course, if whatever it was going to be good, so much time, you know, so many rotations, so much this. Well, twice as much would be better, right? Well, you know, I ended up with some scar tissue, and you know, anyway, my wife just still to this day tells that story. You know.
Well, Rob, she I had a good the first night. It sort of walked. You know, I had surgery at you know again in the morning, so by the late afternoon they said, Rick, let's get out of bed and you know walk around. So I said, all right, I'm feeling good. And I started to walk, and I said, come on, let's do some laps around this place. And I was getting a little cocky, saying, you know, I'm feeling good. Let's keep going. Next thing I knew, Rob, my head started to spin. You know, all the blood went out of my head and everything because, you know, my blood pressure was low and I was on the meds and everything. And they said, this is typical of guys who think they're in shape. You know, they think they can all of a sudden just get out of bed with all the medication in them and just start doing stuff. And literally, I was about to faint. And they put the SWAT team out. All the nurses came over and they grabbed me. And so I think that was a good wake up call for me to say, let's respect this. Let's not get crazy. Let's not try to do too much.
No, because you just you know, just you feel good. As long as you feel good, you want to go, right?
Bingo.
But
yeah.
You really have to behave.
So that's what I'm looking to do. But, you know, it's that fine line. I'm pushing it a little bit just to make sure I get everything done. You know, I want to keep going more every day. I set little goals every day, what I want to do. But I do think, Rob, seriously, it's just the discipline and being consistent, just like this stuff. Discipline, consistent, and repeatable. And I'm just doing that. And I'm going to continue. I want to do this one time right. I don't want to have to worry about it, and then I'm not going to rush back to tennis just because I'm feeling good. I'll get there when I'm ready. So anyway, it's been a pretty cool experience. A little bit humbling at times, you know. Just
that's what's so crazy about people like us. I mean, you look at that. I mean, seriously, look at what you just said. This has been a really cool experience. I mean, who the hell says that?
But it was. I mean, that's what I take from it. I mean, it was a pretty cool experience.
Well, you're going to be, you know, you'd be taken prisoner and kept for 2 years in a concentration camp. You'd come out of it, and they'd say, what was that like? I said, well, it was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting.
Yeah,
I learned
but
a
it
lot.
Is. You learned
you know
it. No, you learn a lot, but I do credit, like, my mindset going in was good. So I think attitude had a lot to do with it. And I mean, I hear this from feedback from the PT people and the nurses and stuff. They just said, that's the biggest, your attitude and your willingness to do, like you said, follow instructions and do what they're telling you to do.
Right.
I'm not going rogue. It has been a learning experience. It has been pretty cool. And the other thing, Rob, I've learned, and I think you've known me long enough, and this is even with business-wise, I'm hesitant to ask for help or ask for business and all that shit. So I was forced into it. So, even when I came home, I was home and I had all these people said, hey, we'll do whatever. And so I said, let me ask. So I had all these buddies coming over to walk me every day. We would, and they loved it. They said, thank you for asking me.
That's so nice.
So, but I usually wouldn't do that.
No, of course not.
Nobody
does. Right.
Right.
But people want to be involved and they want to help and they want to be needed, and it's nice. It's really nice. That's great.
And the same thing is, I was telling Dave this, that, your whole enthusiastically endorsed thing. So I went to this place up it's in New York City. It's called the Hospital for Special Surgery. It's really a, premier orthopedic place in the country or world. The surgeon, again, was very good. I never would have gotten there if it wasn't for my doctor who enthusiastically endorsed. He said, Rick, if I was getting my hip done or my family, I would go to this place. Now, there's some great places in Philly, but I said, let me check it out. So I checked it out, and this guy, obviously we had a personal relationship. He plays tennis with my doctor. I mean, they're not that good, but they met each other. They played tennis together.
Sure.
But his bio was, he's fantastic. I met him. I had a very good feeling, but also because of the relationship. And then I just had a good comfort level. And then when I went up there, I think there must have been some, I don't want to say, what's the word I'm looking for, some protocol that these doctors helped each other. So I was getting the early morning surgery. I got in the best recovery room, the biggest one overlooking the East River of New York, sunrises, every day. And I really think there was some professional courtesy with my doctor and this guy that they took care of me, because I wouldn't have known that. So what do you think I'm doing now, Rob? Everybody to talk, I'm enthusiastically endorsing this guy as like, this is the premier hip guy. If you want to get a hip, go here. This place is, it really was. It exceeded my expectations. So I really want to thank my doc, but it's all about those relationships. I was sharing this with everybody. I mean, from the relationships that things from my priest, I went to confession and he blessed my hip before I went in. But all these different relationships and then the people supporting, it was, like I said, it was a cool experience. I've learned a lot. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out of the way and just tell you that. But it is the experiences, it's the relationships that we've developed, and now we've seen full circle, that it is huge. It is huge. So your stuff works, Rob. Even in, like you said about other things, like this guy now, I would recommend anybody, if you want to get a hip or knee, go up to this place, man. It's the superstars. That's where a lot of athletes go. Actually, Bob Bryan had his hip done up there. So, anyway, that's where we're at to start the new year. I'm back in recovery. I came back to the office this week, so I'm back to work. I'm doing not full time yet, but I mean I'm just getting my way back. I'm still doing all my PT, but we're full ready to roll now.
Rob's still there. We lose him.
I think we still have that same thing.
Oh, there you go.
I just got dropped
you
off.
Just got. All right. But I was just
you were sick of hearing about Rick's hip, and then you just dropped.
No, it's so
I'm
funny.
Basically getting back, so I've been coming back to work now this week. I took those 2 weeks off. Now we're getting back to, we're going to full bore. So. So the biggest thing, Rob, we got to think about, how are we going to get to this $10 million a month? That's your challenge. So I think it's somewhat mindset, it's, process, but, that's a big leap for us. So what's your, recommendation on how we get there. What do we have to do more of? Because that is a big, you know, to go from $10 million a year to $10 million a month. You just drop off again.
You left him, the question left him speechless. I'm sure he'll join right back again. Let's see. So we might these conference lines. We've had a lot of issues. He's better off just calling one of our lines than us. There you go.
Something's fickle about my phone today.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I was.
I
don't know if you heard the question. I was saying.
Yeah. How do you get
the question? I posed. Yeah, $10 million a month.
Right. How do you get to $10 million a month? I think you got to execute brilliantly on every part of your marketing effort, and take this and ritualize your marketing and have confidence in it. In the same way you have confidence in the 1242 with your existing clients. You just have to believe that your efforts in the marketing will work. So here's one of the things I'd like you to do. I'd like you to make up 20 prospect folders. You know, you can make them yellow folders. You can do whatever you want. But that, basically, we mark them as yellow folders. And then your goal is to fill the folders. Okay. You may have 20 prospects now, but I doubt it.
Right.
But our goal is to build 20 prospects, and then, and I would say, Dave, each of you, okay? And then your goal is to make sure that you treat them as if they're clients. You make sure that you explain your process, you go through, and you call them every month. Now, if they're just plain prospects and you're trying to qualify them and so forth, you're trying to get a meeting with them or whatever you're trying to do, you know, next steps. We always, remember we talked about next step. What's our next step? Mm-hmm. Always have your next, always, every phone call is to close for something. Every phone call is to make sure you get to your next step. So you're not going to do your 90-day free look with these guys yet. If you need to, fine.
Right.
But this is simply to keep you organized and get your pipeline visible. You have a pipeline, but it may not be as visible as this.
Right.
And it may not and I'm just arbitrarily saying 20 because I think that's reasonable. It's one a day and it's you know, it's not a big deal. But I think if you did that all year, you're going to do better than you would have done otherwise.
Right.
Okay.
Like that.
So that's just one thing. Okay. The other is your 24-month calendar. Are you using a 24-month calendar now?
Not really. I mean, honestly, no. I can't say I am.
Okay. Well, one of the things that happens when we do any kind, you remember this from the old days. We'd make up, we'd say, okay, we're going to sell municipal bonds this month. We would make up a list in yellow pad of everybody that was going to buy municipal bonds. We'd get a great bond or two, and we'd call them all. And we do a lot of business. We do a lot of business. We do a ton of munis. All right. It's the same kind of idea here. All right. And it's particularly important. The 24-month calendar is fine to make sure you're organized and you get everything done and you're in touch with your clients and all that. But I'm looking at it as a marketing tool. Okay? Just like the enthusiastically endorsed list is a marketing tool. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, what you want to do is make up your calendar for the next 24 months, and you're going to have 8 topics that will be topics that can generate business, like insurance. You know, how are we managing our risk? And so that would be the topic, managing risk. and you talk to everybody about their insurance. Okay? In general,
mm-hmm.
just overall
yep.
liability management. Who is it with? How you how's it evolved over the years, et cetera? And cover it all. Don't think about what you sell. Think about what it is that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And just be well informed. Okay? If you have that conversation with people, you're probably going to come to something that will generate an interest or a topic that needs further discussion or maybe even a sale. Let's take long-term care, okay? You may not be a big
mm-hmm.
fan of long-term care, but there's a lot of people that need it, and they're not the really wealthy, and they're not the poor. It's the middle.
Right.
It's the group that if something would happen and they would, and this happens all the time, one spouse has Alzheimer's, okay?
Mm.
And that's a 7-year death sentence, horrible disease.
Wow. Yeah.
And it takes about 7-8 years, the person's gone. But those 7 years are hell on the other party.
Mm.
And usually it hits around 85 or 80, and that's where people need help getting to a facility and then getting the health care that they need. And that's where you guys can be the concierge advisors that you should be. So part of your
mm-hmm.
of your management of the future is to be that guy that knows the best of the best, just like your doctor did for you. What is the most
yep.
suitable place for you and your loved ones to go for the assistance that they need? Right. So you're an expert on the facilities in your area. You even have to understand the contract, because this is an important part of your clients' lives. And you don't sell them the contract for, the facility they're going to, but you would sell them the long-term care that would pay for the facility. And that's
mm-hmm.
a very valuable thing to have done for them.
Yeah.
So that's just a great, that's a 2-month topic. How about liability management? Right, we have asset management, we have liability management, and are we really taking advantage of all the ways that people can borrow and should borrow and shouldn't borrow? Right, so they shouldn't do credit card loans, but a lot of people do them, and they
mm-hmm.
shouldn't probably do margin, but they should do
right.
securitized loans,
mm-hmm.
and they should do mortgages. So, when you go through and do liability management with somebody and you explain what securitized loans can do for them, and as a parent, you can loan your money to your kids so they can buy a house instead of getting a mortgage. They're the bank. CPA sets up the right tax forms, and they get the deduction. The kids get the deduction.
Mm-hmm.
The parents make the loan. It's a great idea, and it's such a convenience
mm-hmm.
for the child. But what the point is, it's a good idea, and it will get you introductions. When you talk about liability management, it's like, oh, yeah, it's either a neighbor, a friend, or it's, somebody, or it's their children. But you're going to
yeah.
do business, and you're going to get introductions. When you have a topic that's interesting, okay, so you got
mm-hmm.
a new tax law where stretch IRAs are out. So that's
yep.
a big deal. It's a big deal. So what we want is a 24-month calendar of topics that we're going to discuss, and then we're going to have, we're going to have a 24-month calendar of events, marketing events. Okay? Now, you guys are good
mm-hmm.
at this, and you're already doing it. But I don't think
it's we're not doing 20. I mean, we're doing quarterly. It's like we're like a quarterly, like a bent type,
Right. So I want you to have a 24-month calendar of events. And think about, when are you going to have your enthusiastically endorsed get-together, on the river, a cruise, dinner cruise, whatever. You're bringing them together. You're introducing them. I mean, what you just said about the doctor –
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Invite your doctor and have him tell the story.
And this freaking surgeon, man, these guys are, you wouldn't believe how many they're doing on a day. Oh, God. These guys got to be. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. Right? So there's a market for you. There's a beautiful prospecting idea. But but the idea is to really get organized, ritualized, and don't make yourself crazy, but make yourself so that you know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and where. You don't know where all the money's coming from, but you can get an idea, right?
Right. Yeah.
You just. So to me.
So Rob, I think you've seen though what the direction of. I mean, obviously all the firms, but UBS in particular. I mean, this is like where we're going. I mean, the whole banking is becoming a huge part of, I guess, profitability for the firm, because they need, you know, they need other areas. So banking has become, we're getting pounded on banking all the time.
Yeah, and to me, just
go
with
the liability.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, go with it. Don't fight it, because it's a great opportunity. You know, once I figured out I could do lines of credit, I never liked them. I never wanted to use them. But when I use them for my kids' mortgages, it's such a brilliant idea.
Right.
I mean, I've got a mortgage for Courtney, I've got a mortgage for Christopher, and then I bought a condominium for my brother, so I got a mortgage on that.
So wait, so tell me about, so you take an SBL, and then you buy the place, but then you just do, you have them pay you.
They pay me like I'm the bank. And then my CPA sends them a tax form that says that this was the mortgage and that they can deduct the interest.
Really?
You can't deduct the interest. You can't deduct interest on an SBL, but
I can't deduct the interest, right? But they can.
But you're doing a private loan then to the kids.
Right.
Funded by your SBL loan.
It's a mortgage for them. What's the difference between myself and a bank? There's no difference. I'm lending the money. I've got a schedule of their payments. See, we do a schedule of their payments and all that.
I won't play CPA, but technically there is a big difference, Rob. But you can't deduct. It's like a personal loan. You can't deduct interest on a personal loan, but. It's neither here nor there.
You mean they can't use that as a mortgage?
No. If you, for any kind of credit line, if it's a traditional SBL, right, you're backing, it's a securities-backed loan, that interest is not deductible no matter who is actually paying that interest, because it's a personal line. It's just like how a home equity line, there's a limit for home equity lines that you can deduct interest.
I'm not taking the deduction. They're taking the deduction. I'm a bank.
Right.
If I gave them a loan, what difference does it make whether I borrow the money to do it? I mean, let's just say I lend them $600,000. I'm the bank. I can do that.
Right.
They don't, you know, I have $600,000 in cash. I lend it to them.
I like it.
Sure. There you go.
So, I'm thinking about that for my own daughter, Rob.
Right.
I might take advantage of that for my own daughter.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. You don't want to give them the money, right? Then
right.
It's like
exactly.
And then it's crazy. It's like Dad bought me a house. You know, that's I don't want to ever do that.
Exactly.
And you emasculate them. You want them to feel, but they don't have to pay any points. They don't have to have their credit rating checked. They pay 3.25. You know, it's locked in. It's great.
Huh.
And then you
that's another one, Rob. You just opened my eye for this, because my daughter, they live out, you know, in Jersey, near New York City. And, you know, for them to try, they're just getting going. And to try to afford something up there is ridiculous. They'll never, you know.
Courtney,
we can get them started with something.
Courtney's got a place in New York, right? She bought it during the recession. I made her buy it, right? I gave her a down payment. She got a loan and a mortgage and bought a place in the city in Brooklyn for about $600,000. It's worth like $1.2 million. Right.
I was going to say, there's nothing worth that, you know, $600,000 today wouldn't even buy you a studio.
Right. So she's got a great apartment in Brooklyn. She rents it out. And then she moved to Nashville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she moved to Nashville and she wanted to buy a house. And, you know, I figured, and it's about a $600,000 house. And, you know, they had some money, but she didn't, you know, she didn't, I didn't want her to sell the place in Brooklyn. It's a nice cash flow for her. I'm trying to build up her equity. So I said, you know, she said, well, we're going to go for a mortgage. And I said, you know, why don't I just give you a line of credit? You know, I'll give you the money, and then I'll borrow it, and you pay me, and I'll pay off my line of credit. And then I checked with my CPA, and she said, yeah, we'll set that up. That's no problem. She can do it at about half the cost.
Right.
Of what it would cost her to rent or to get her own mortgage. You know, she'd have had to pay points or whatever, all that crap.
Right. Yep.
So,
no, that's good. Those are good things. You're right. Now it's helping people solve the issues that they're dealing with.
Well, you know, it's both of my kids are fine, but you know, real estate's expensive, and they, you know, they're fine as long as they don't have to make huge payments. They can do this fine.
Sure.
But
right.
You know, making huge payments or, you know, and principal interest and taxes, and they, you know, you have to buy insurance in a lot of the cases you don't have. You know, you skip all that.
Right.
You know.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, it's a fun idea, and, you know, people with, I mean, look, the disparity, the disparity, look at the difference between your net worth and her net worth. It's ridiculous,
sure.
Right? And you've been blessed, and you want to help her.
Yeah.
But you don't want to give her the money because that would be like, no, dad's taking care of me. You know, that's ridiculous.
Right, exactly.
So this is just a way of facilitating. Everything is just, she'll get a mortgage if she wanted one, and she could pay for it. But this just makes it easy for her. Gives her the confidence to go out and do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've enjoyed it.
So 24-month calendar of events. So really getting all those things down. Yeah, I mean, the events, now we're going to continue to do the ones that are working. We're going to do the grass court again in Philly. Soon, I'm going to do that in early June. We are going to do this because of your insight. We're going to do that San Francisco thing where we're going to speak on that panel with Clark.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So we're going to make it happen. I was going to blow it off, to be honest with you, but we're going to make it happen. That'll be in June. So that'll be a one-on-one with Clark. And the two of them, though, right now, Clark and Sam did their own little retreat for the first week of the year. They're in Turks and Caicos right now.
Nice.
And they've been desperately trying to get me down, but I said, guys, not 2 weeks after surgery, I wasn't going down. And so now they're already bugging me about, they want this, you know, the next time. They already found a place, you know, on the beach with a tennis court, and they rent a house. And so they're all crazy about this, and they want to get Dave down. They want to Dave.
Trying to get all of us.
Yeah.
Me?
But
what's wrong with
really,
that?
Really pretty. Yeah. But it's really pretty cool, though. I mean, just, you know, and Sam, you know, he's going to, that's a great center of influence. Now, here's another one, though, that, let me just tell you this quick story. One of the guys that we invited last year, I don't have a great, I played tennis with him a couple times, but he's a good friend of another guy that we just brought on as a client. And Dave, tell him what you saw on TV the other day.
Okay. He was a J&J executive who then became one of the, I think he was the North American president for Mondelez for a few years. Now he works he's the chairman and CEO of a Brazilian, call it like consumer goods company called Natura that just bought Avon products. And he's been kind of doing his, his CEO chairman. He's got some giant compound down in Brazil and Rick's chiropractor, who's also a client who loves us, him and his wife who love us, they're like good friends with this guy and his wife. They all play tennis together. So he's this big fish out there that there will certainly be a prospect folder built around him.
Yes.
Well, that's beautiful.
But he's like, he would be, I mean, truly a big fish. And, you know, he's, again, we're going to invite him to our Philly Cricket again with, you know, we might be able to get it. That would be awesome if we can get him to come. You know, scheduling with him is tighter, but that's our goal for this year. So we ask, that's the one we will build a prospect folder for. And it's really, again, I know him, you know, just from like, you know some guys. I played tennis with him a couple times. We've never really gone beyond that, but he's good friends with a good, like you said. I mean, so we have connections with that, and if we can get him to our grass court, that'll be a big one.
Here's another idea for you. That these ideas come up sometimes when I'm coaching. You know, somebody will bring it up, wonder why. In fact, that 24-month marketing calendar, you know, I've always had the 24-month calendar of events for 1242s, right? And they said, well, mm-hmm. we really like your 24-month marketing calendar idea. And I'm like,
right.
I never had that idea. So I said, well, tell me what you're doing with it. They said, oh, we're building a 24-month calendar of all our marketing events and initiatives that we're going to have outside of, you know, the 1242s, you know, things, seminars and this and that. And I was like, that's a great idea. They said, yeah, we really like that. So that would be the responsibility of the director of marketing. And this is a 5-person team. So they're really trying to get their roles and responsibilities down. Whereas the 24-month calendar of topics for discussion would be under the director of implementation. So there are two different roles, but each would have a 24-month calendar. The other thing is people like to send the 24-month calendar to their clients of the topics of discussion. And I recommend that for you guys. I'd like to see you do it for the new year and see what kind of reaction you get from clients. And tell them to put it in their folder, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of a new idea to put in your folder. And this one team was like, you don't have this in your folder. Why not? And I'm like, you're right. I should, you know.
Right.
Here's another idea that came up that was, I thought, really interesting. It's hard sometimes to explain the difference between what you do and what other teams do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this became very clear to me because this is the place that most people come to me. They are like an emergency room group. They're triage. They provide great service. It's a mess because you never know who's going to come in, who's going to call, what the emergency is going to be. But they handle it well. Every day they go in, it's chaos. But who suffers? Right. Who suffers? The staff suffers, right? Because they never can prepare. They can't do long-term work. There's no anticipation, zero anticipation of things to come. It's totally reactive. That's the way the average team operates. When they have too many clients, then you have a typical family practice. And that's where people, you know, they don't have too many clients, so they call them on a regular basis, and they deliver a nice level of service. That's before they get to supernova, right? Then we have a family office group concierge practice that you guys have, okay? Now, that's the difference is that this is anticipation of things, of events, life events. So you think of it as preventive medicine, okay? And that's the big buzzword today, right? In controlling costs, it's preventive medicine. So what you're doing is delivering preventive medicine, meaning you anticipate things that are going to go wrong or right or whatever for people, and so they can make better choices because you tell them what the future is going to hold. You help them prepare. So they have a role in this. They have to agree to do a financial plan. They have to agree to be on these calls. They have to agree to update their financial plan. And in so doing, you can anticipate if they're going to possibly run out of money or if some catastrophic event is going to happen, a death of one, or somebody gets Alzheimer's. But you are prepared because you provide preventive medicine and preventive care all the way along. I really like this, and I think for the average doctor or the average person, the analogy really works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like you said, it goes back to earlier, Rob, when you were saying, just like with the doctors, like, you know, getting people to do what they should do, like take their medicine, take their, you know, workout or do whatever. This is the same thing.
Well, and I think, guys, this is part of what you can sell is that, look, this is a team effort. You're the CEO. We're the CFO. You know, you've got to make good decisions. We're here to help you make those good decisions. You've got to be informed. We do the research. We anticipate what's going to happen so that you can make better choices. But you have to take – you basically have to listen. You know, in our industry, my old firm, the CEO didn't listen to those people, and therefore the firm almost went out of business. So just like patients have to take the medicine, what's the medicine that your people have to take? They have to be on the calls. They have to listen. They have to take your advice. You have to value your advice. They have to do their financial planning. And that is, it's a process. It's not a plan. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just to try, you know, work that into your explanation of who you are and why you're different. And
yep.
Their role,
no, I see that.
You know, it won't work if they don't take the medicine.
Right. Yep.
And that's why
that's
we love.
Exactly
we love
right.
You know, and that's you can say, and that's why we love working with the clients that we have. And that's
right.
Why, we interview everybody because not everyone is a good fit. We want really good outcomes for our patients.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the option of turning people down if we don't think that they are going to have a good outcome because they aren't going to listen, just like a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
And yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, that's why we have, you know, less than 100 clients. It's because, you know, we choose not to. It's like the enthusiastically endorsed list. You cannot introduce a person that won't listen or is going to be a nasty person into that group. It's illegal.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Now,
so,
just
Rob, I'm just
think
looking
about,
at our time. I just have one more question for you, though.
Yeah.
So this is a change, and you said early on, you know, it's marketing, but believing. So for me, it's a mindset that's thinking bigger. And what I mean, I know you always have these good books and shit, and I'm good at that stuff. So I mean, what about again, just thinking bigger because we're doing the process. It's just now stepping it up with a couple different zeros on the ends.
Right.
Have you had any particular good, just because it's a mindset thing. I mean, for me, it's a mindset to think bigger. And like, is there any like of your books that you had? I know I always loved the Jim Lohr one, you know, just for the corporate athlete stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, the Art of Thinking Big is a great book. I made all my interns read that. you know, it's an old book, but it's always a great book to read to expand your mind. I would just go back and listen to my book, The Supernova Multiplier, just to get your brain every day going to work, get your brain so that it will be activated. You may not need the information I'm giving you, but it will activate your marketing initiative for the day.
Yeah.
It's like a good workout. You know, I had a nice bike ride this morning. I feel good. I've got good energy. And you know, did I learn anything on my bike ride? No. Did I have fun? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But it got me into the right mindset. And I think by listening to listen to Larry Wilson's book, listen to Rob Knapp's book, listen to Jim Lehrer's book, listen to good books on the way to work, and it will stimulate your brain and give yourself a good mental workout.
Yeah.
That's valuable.
You know, but Rob, that's why, I mean, this 2 weeks basically disengaging actually, you know, it was good. I was actually, you know, and again, it's just thinking through these things. And this is why Clark actually does this like once a quarter. He goes away on his by himself to an island or somewhere and just works on thinking for the next quarter, for the next, you know, and just, you know, so I'm going to steal some of that from him and we're going to start doing that.
I think it's really good. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
Yep. We look forward to your next $100 million client.
Yeah, I
hear you.
I agree. I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of, you know, just thinking that way and looking for them. And so we're going to do these 20 prospect folders, and we're going to nail one of those this soon.
Right. Good. All right, guys. Thanks. Great having you back.
Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Congratulations on your surgery.
Thank you. Nothing but good stuff ahead.
All right, buddy. Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year, Rob.
Happy New Year.